And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave their fight to me. And I'm happy stand up next to you and defend her still today. But there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
Good evening, and welcome to the Republic Information Call for all free state governors and free state executive and judicial branch officials. Today is Wednesday, October 29th, 2014. This is Jean Hertler filling in for Brenda Owens. I would like to ask President Geiger, would you do us the honor of opening us in prayer this evening?
As long as I don't have to close my eyes and pray because I am driving.
You don't have to close your eyes, sir. Please don't. We need you.
Dear Father, be with us tonight and give us wisdom and let us honor you in what we do. Just give us guidance as we go forward in the Republic. I pray that you would reach out and just bless the hearts of everyone listening tonight. Just give us specific guidance on how to grow this, your republic. I know you helped our forefathers grow it once and occupy it once, and we absolutely can't do it without your help and your guidance this time around either. So we give all the honor and praise to you. I pray these things in Yeshua's name and in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Speaker Rockwell, would you give us an update from the House of Representatives, sir?
Most certainly. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the call. The House has been diligently working on a document for the election cycle for both the representatives and senators, and we finally got the document complete last night. We're just doing the final touches on it, and we'll probably send that back to the Senate hopefully in a week or so. And also, Gene's wonderful husband, David, is helping us in the House doing education on the Constitution, and that's also part of what we're doing in the House of Representatives during the week. And we have a number, if you'd like to know what your House of Representatives is doing, we have what we call a let me get the number up here real quick. We have what we call a gallery number that is for anybody that wants to call in and listen to what we're doing in the House. And that number, if you'd like to listen in on the House of what we're doing each Tuesday evening at 6 o'clock Pacific, if you have your pen and paper in hand, I'll give you a number and an access code to call in, and you can definitely listen to see what we're doing in the House of Representatives. That number is 712-432-0900, and to access that call is 448229#. And with that, I'll go ahead and yield.
Thank you, Speaker Rockwell. We do not have with us this evening an official from the Senate. I don't see Senator LaRue, and Vice President Owens is with family this evening. He's expecting posterity to come along the way with his first grandchild, so he is not with us this evening. So we will go ahead and move along to the judicial branch, and I see Justice Smolk here. Justice Smolk, if you would please give us an update from the judicial branch.
Well, certainly. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Well, we've found a lot of old laws and writings from the de jure from the 1850s, and what we've been doing is we went through the rules on the correct way for juror selection, and the last few weeks we've been on going through the rules for the Supreme Court, and that's what we'll be doing this week again. we should be finishing up on some of those. So we're trying to get trying to find out and get back to the closest that the de jure was in the past. That's what we're trying to duplicate in our court system. So with that, I yield. Thank you.
Thank you, Justice Field. That is exciting. Thank you, and congratulations to you and all of the judicial branch members.
Yes.
Now I'd like to welcome President Geiger back to the floor, and welcome President Geiger.
Thank you, Jane. It's good to be here tonight, be able to talk to the governors and the justices, American people that are listening. Ben Turner was fond of saying that the president's job was pretty much thankless. I can't quite think because there have been a few people who thank me for doing my job, and I do appreciate when I hear that. But I don't want to really talk about myself tonight. I want to talk about Bob Burnett and the RNN call that he's been running for the Republic. You know, he's been out trying to educate all these different groups out there that are like-minded and reach out to them so that those groups can understand who we are, and likewise, so we might have some influence on those groups. But, you know, I'm sure I can tell you, back behind the scenes, Bob is putting in 30 or 40 hours a week or more in preparation for that Republic News Network. So I, for one, would deeply appreciate to hear any kind of thanks coming forth from folks around the Republic. If you get word to Bob, just to, you know, he's not discouraged or anything. I tell you that, he's on top of it. But I'm sure that it would be good for him to hear from those of you around the Republic thanking him for his continued service to us all. And that call is pretty much in the hands of the people, I would say. I mean, Bob is one of the people. He's not an office holder. So he's doing his best to promote the Republic. And if there's some of you out there that want to help him, I mean, step forward. But, in fact, this coming Thursday night, we're having a very special guest. It's a gentleman from the Army, and that was persecuted, if you will, for bringing forth the truth on what's been going on in the Middle East. But I'll ask Gene Hertler, if she will, to read a little bit of that, and so to encourage those of you listening to attend that call. Gene?
I'd be happy to. Are you interested in just a couple paragraphs of his bio, or would you also like his statement read?
Well, I'll leave that up to you. I don't want to. They're going to hear this again probably tomorrow night, but just enough
okay.
So that they will want to come hear the rest of it tomorrow night.
Okay. This is the bio for Scott Bennett. Scott Bennett is a U.S. Army Special Operations Officer, 11th Psychological Operations Battalion, Civil Affairs Psychological Operations Command, and a global psychological warfare counterterrorism analyst, formerly with defense contractor Booz Allen Hamilton. He received a direct commission as an officer, held a top secret, sensitive, compartmentalized information security clearance, and worked in the highest levels of international counterterrorism in Washington, D.C., and McGill Air Force Base in Tampa, Florida. He has developed and managed psychological warfare theories, products, and operations for U.S. Special Operations Command, U.S. Central Command, the State Department Coordinator for Counterterrorism, and other government agencies. He served in the G.W. Bush administration from 2003 to 2008, and was a social science research fellow at the Heritage Foundation. His writings and lectures seek to enhance global awareness and understanding of modern psychological warfare, the international military intelligence community, and global global surveillance operations being artificially generated under the specter of national security. I yield.
Thank you, Jane, and I just encourage everybody to comment and listen to that call. It should be very informative. This gentleman spent, I think, a couple of years in prison because he was trying to get the truth out to the leadership and into the de facto government. And, of course, they didn't want to hear the truth. But anyway, you'll be glad you attended, and I'm sure I'll be listening too. So God bless you all, and I yield.
Thank you. God bless you too, President Geiger. We have a couple of notes of housekeeping that Brenda had asked that I would pass along. And one is to make you apprised that there have been reports of some conference call issues with getting busy signals and dropped calls and so forth, and also with email issues. She did check in with the provider of the conference call program, and she learned that we have some intrusive government censoring going on. There is a remedy if you would check on the national website and go to the FAQs, frequently asked questions. There is another way to call in and also for email issues. Brenda has asked that I would also make mention that there is a need for help, and as you get your email announcement, there is a little more information about what our national government is looking for. If you have gifts and talents that you're willing to help stand up this republic, please make it known at the rrb.admin@therepublicoftheunitedstates.org email address. And then lastly, the third chapter is releasing this week for the book Reinhabited, The Republic for the United States of America. And we exhort you to read the story of America's history. It's also your story. That ends the housekeeping, and I'm going to turn the floor over to Governor Jimmy Horton. And with us also this evening is Lieutenant Governor James Carpenter. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you, Jean, and I appreciate you taking over the call tonight for Dan and Brenda. We certainly miss them on the call. I appreciate the updates from executive and judicial and the House branch. I appreciate that. We do are appreciative of what Bob's doing to reach out and try to make us aware, or make groups aware of who we are and what we're trying to do, and clear the air about what the Republic is and what it is not. I'll give Lieutenant Governor Carpenter a chance to address that. Are you?
Thank you, Governor Horton. Boy, that does sound exciting to have a man of his caliber to come on and speak with us. And, you know, we hear all the conspiracy theories, but if you start listening to the Thursday night calls, those conspiracy theories really start taking a form and a shape. And I've been very impressed with the work that Bob's done this past year. And it's been very enlightening, and it's something that all the American people need to hear. Thank you, Governor Horton. Do you have any agenda tonight?
I do. I just want to echo your thoughts there on, you know, it's very refreshing to learn that there are patriots out there that's come from that sector of society, if you will, that those professional areas that have a heart for doing the right thing, and they're suffering for trying to get the truth out to the American people. It's, you know, there's probably for everyone that we find, I wonder how many are not coming forward that would like to. And, you know, it would be interesting to get those ratios. I'm sure there's a lot of them. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I have thought on that. That is, look at how they've increased in the last 4 or 5 years. And, you know, just like water, when you get a little drop, it's not long before it's a trickle, and it's not long before it's a garden hose. And what an exciting opportunity to be the drop. I guess that's a drip under pressure, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, that's right. And, you know, the one drop leads to another one, you know. And so it's maybe as one comes forward, there'll be others get the courage to follow. And what a blessing for them to have a place to come, like the Republic, to, you know, to vent and get their heart out there and have a group of people that appreciates and supports what they're doing. So it's a good, I'm glad we're here for them. You know, where else would they go? Right?
You're exactly right. You're exactly right. I mean, you know, and that's why, you know, you look at all the leaders that came forth, especially, you know, since the Nevada situation down there and with that land grab. And, you know, we're starting to see a steady stream. And I am greatly encouraged.
Absolutely, and I'm really, this has been something I've been thinking about for a long time, is that how we need to stay the course, steadfast, you know, and when someone says, is there anybody out there who actually supports the Constitution, follows the Constitution, we can proudly hold our head up and say, yes, there is, and we're here. Against all odds, we're here. And, you know, and with the, this kind of ties in with what Bob's doing on our identity, and it's something that is kind of a follow-up from last week, if you don't mind, that we had to ask the question last week about, you know, our documentation on proving our legitimacy, if you will, our legal standing, and what makes us a legal entity and what makes us a lawful government. And Justice Moak and I had a conversation then over the weekend, and he actually told me some things that I, believe it or not, I had never heard. And if I did hear it, it went past me. It went over my head or went straight through one ear and out the other and didn't settle in. And he came up with some amazing points on the actual foundational document that really established the United States of America and the Republic. And he's still on the call. I'd like to bring him on and let him share with everyone what he has shared with me and what he has been. He's known for quite some time, and I guess I don't know if he just assumed we knew it or what. But it was a eye-opening study for me, and I very much appreciate what he's bringing to us. So with that, I'll ask Justice Smoke to come on the call.
Hello, can you hear me?
Oh, hear you, great.
Okay.
Good to hear your voice.
Well, good to hear you too. The Jay Treaty of 1794, Justice Jay was the first Supreme Court justice, and he brokered a treaty with Great Britain, 1794, and it was mainly about commerce and rights of shipping and, you know, just several general things, but there were some very, very important items that were included of the 28 different articles that was there. The very end, Article 28, and I've sent this email out to several people, so I guess we could send it out to others if they are interested in it. But Article 28 said that the first 10 of these articles were to remain in perpetuity. The first 10 articles of the Jay Treaty. Well, in those first 10 articles, it speaks 27 times about the United States of America, the United States being able to conduct business on behalf of the people, being the recognized government of the people, and having a treaty with His Majesty Great Britain, okay? So the bottom line is that we ended up with an international treaty that recognizes the Republic as the legitimate government for the American people, and it is the government that speaks for the people, and it is recognized by Great Britain, an international treaty, and it is to remain permanently in perpetuity. So the Republic is the only government that is to represent the American people by international treaty. So that makes it very significant, and if you look, that's probably why that the corporation did not completely do away with the Republic. It was only vacated. It was never, you know, destroyed or dismantled. I don't believe it could be lawfully, because by international treaty, again with Great Britain, it was the Republic that was to remain the legitimate government for the American people permanently. So that's very significant. And on top of that, I also, well, my wife did the research, but the parts of the Jay Treaty are still yet, it has never been struck down. And as a matter of fact, in our immigration bill, the de facto immigration bill that was passed just a few years ago, it even cited the Jay Treaty. So not only was the Jay Treaty never struck down, but it was actually cited in some pretty recent de facto legislation. So the de facto recognizes it, and again, it is a treaty that by international agreement, the Republic is the legitimate governing body for the people of America. And this is really pretty significant. And I don't know, but is that what you wanted me to cover?
Yes, sir. Can you talk to, you know, in the past we'd always talked about the Utah document as our operational document, but in reality we're really talking about the Constitution as the actual operating document. Is that correct? And then I guess what I'm saying is we've been putting the emphasis, at least I have, the emphasis on the Utah document as our basis in law.
Well, there's nothing the matter with that. Actually, our foundational document would probably be the Declaration of Independence, because that lays out what we stand for. Okay, the operational document that tells us what how to operate, what we can and cannot do, and how it must be done, of course, that's the Constitution. Our ultimate authority comes from God Almighty, as we have unalienable rights, rights that cannot be taken away nor given away. So our ultimate authority comes from our Creator, Creator God. We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men are created equal. They are endowed with, they're created with certain unalienable rights, and among these rights, I mean, there's more, a life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So our ultimate authority comes from Almighty Creator God. Our foundational document being the Declaration of Independence, our operational document being the Constitution. And the Utah document did mention, I think, the Jay Treaty, if I'm correct. It even includes that. So, you know, there's nothing the matter with talking about the Utah document, but ultimately our right to self-governance comes from Almighty God. So there's nothing at all the matter with mentioning Utah document, because I think it too also even mentions the Jay Treaty.
Okay. I don't know if our Jay Treaty is on our website or not, but
did I send a copy of that to you?
Yes, you did. I have that. Yes.
Well, you know, if anybody's interested, just include that email and that treaty, and you know, it is good that everybody knows, you know, knows at least how to find it. And it was the J Treaty, and some people argue, oh, that wasn't even about the Republic. That was about commerce. Well, it was. Its main focus was about commerce, and there were some things that the British troops would get out of certain areas, and it was a lot about commerce and money, and there were several items covered in the treaty, but there were also some very good points. Again, that, you know, the Republic was recognized by international treaty by a foreign government as being able to represent the business of the American people. And that in and of itself was big. And it's, like I said, is to remain permanently. So that's some very good points.
Well, is it safe to say that was the first treaty the Republic had made?
Now that I'm going to have to, I'd have to check. I don't know that it was the very first, but of course it was 1794. Our nation was very young. It's certainly one of the first. I would have to check it out. I'd be afraid to say, Governor.
I mean, well, as the United States, I know that we had a treaty of peace with King George after mm-hmm. the Revolutionary War,
mm-hmm.
as far as for the colonies. But as the United States, I was wondering if this was first. I know there was a treaty with the Moors maybe at one time.
Yeah, we had the treaty with the Moors, and I think they loaned us some money, I believe, or was able to finance a few things. There were some things about that too that developed that was kind of embarrassing on our nation's history. If I'm correct, maybe I shouldn't even say this, but I believe that the Moors insisted that slavery continue in the colonies, but that was a condition before they was going to give us financial assistance. Maybe I shouldn't even say that without verifying it, but I believe somewhere in there, one of those nations, and I thought it was the treaty with the Moors, that that slavery remained as an institution in the colonies, and that was a prerequisite for their financial assistance. But again, maybe I shouldn't have even said that until I verify it. But there were some things in our nation's past that we're not proud of, and we're trying to fix those things. And we got away from our foundational document: all men are created equal and are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. And that is really what started causing some problems. We as the re-inhabited republic, need to stand firm on those convictions of our foundational document: all men are created equal. But yes, there was a treaty with the Moors. And as far as an international treaty, the Jay Treaty may have been certainly one of the first.
Yeah. Thank you so much for that. I'd like to open it up if anyone has any questions for you about that. Give them an opportunity.
This is President Geiger.
Go ahead.
I just say I agree with everything that Justice Moak has said, and I'd like to give a little bit more explanation on the Utah document. The Utah document was where we laid hold to all the other documents. In other words, we had a quorum to do what we did, and the American people, which Justice Moak talks about, had the unalienable right to do what we did in Utah. In other words, we had, and in my opinion, not only the right, but the obligation and the duty to do what was done in Utah. And what we did in Utah was to lay hold of those foundational documents that Justice Moak has made mention of. And that Utah document also makes it clear, and this issue that Justice Moak is talking about, that it be all inclusive to all men, regardless of race, that Utah document is what does that for us also. It says all means all, and it's not excluding anybody. So that makes that very clear. But, yeah, it's kind of, if I had to give you an analogy, what we did in Utah was to occupy the house there that laid there abandoned. If we hadn't have done that, then the house would still be there abandoned. We lawfully and legally laid claim to it publicly, and those documents, as you all know, have been served to parties that made that public. So that the rest of the world knows that the American people have stood up. We have laid claim to that republic, and we are the ones that as Justice Moak points out, are the parties to the Jay Treaty, not the corporation. How are you?
Thank you for that, and I appreciate those comments. That helps tie it together for me, kind of bringing the past and the future together in one neat little bundle there, and that helps my understanding a great deal on what the intent was there, and I appreciate that. And there again, you know, it's one of those things where you go along in life and you think you know something until you really sit down trying to explain it, and then you realize, well, I don't really know. And then a light bulb goes off, and they're, oh, okay, I see. Right, anyone else have a comment or question for Justice Moak? Apparently not. I guess you cleared it up, Justice Moak. We appreciate that so much. And if it's not on our website, maybe you can get on there.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. It's always a pleasure to be on here with you, Governor. I yield.
Sir. Thank you so much. We appreciate what you guys are doing over there, and looking forward to seeing some of those findings you're working out on the grand juries and jury selections and all those procedures. It's very exciting, and looking forward to seeing that come forth. Well, Gene, I will turn the call back to you. We're into the building the state's time.
Unmuted.
Have it back.
Thank you, sir.